We're turning to the book of Psalms and the third psalm, a beautiful psalm, a psalm that I think will benefit us tonight, just to know a little bit about what's going on here. Psalm 3, the Lord protects his people. That's a good title. A psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Verse 1, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be that say to my soul, there is no hope for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept, I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. Let me read again the third verse. That's where we want to take our text from and our title tonight. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. And the lifter up of mine head. Amen. My message to you tonight is simple. It just simply is this. Look up. Look up. Turn to your neighbor and say, look up. Amen. I don't know what's going on, but look up. I don't know what's going on around you in your life, but look up. I don't know what kind of problems you have, but look up. I don't know what the devil's been up to, but look up. I know what God's up to, and he's the lifter up of my head. Amen. Praise God. The Christian always ought to look up. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. David wrote this psalm in a very perplexing time in his life. Possibly the most trying time in his life. Now, David was a man that knew some trouble. He was a man that went through some things. He was a man that had known great success, but he also knew great trouble. There are some psalms that were written while David was being hunted like a rabbit by Saul. And he was running for his life. And there are some psalms about that. But this psalm tonight is the psalm that was written late in the life of David. This is after David had been a king and sat on the throne of Israel and had known the heights of princely, kingly glory. A man that had seen the hand of God bless him so bountifully. A man that had known what it was to be honored and blessed and uplifted. People looked upon him as a great man, and indeed he was. But the greatest heartache that came to David's life came to him through his son, Absalom. Nobody can hurt you like the people that are closest to you. Your enemies will never hurt you like your family can. Your enemies will never hurt you like someone that is your own flesh and blood. They are the ones that can hurt you the very most. They are also the ones that can help you the very most. They're the ones that can bless you the very most. Amen. But David had a son by the name of Absalom that had a spirit, an awful spirit of rebellion. Absalom deceived the people. Now I would have to say tonight, in all honesty, David let a little of this happen. He had a little blame in this, as we all do. As we usually do. We can't blame it all on Absalom. But Absalom brought great pain. He deceived Israel. And he, as a matter of fact, he was so winsome and he was so popular that he was able to persuade the people of Israel, many of them, to leave following David and follow after him. And when David heard about that, he was so shaken. He knew his son and he knew what was in his heart. And so the few people that were left with him in Jerusalem, he said, we've got to run for our lives. He said, Absalom will come and he will kill us. He will destroy us. And so here the aged king of Israel that had been so honored and so anchored, it seemed, in the promises of God. But Absalom was coming and David had to flee for his own life. So David left his palace. David left the Ark of the Covenant. The things that he loved the most. The things that he would surrounded himself with as trappings of comfort and his status in life and his success and his achievements. And David had to leave all of that behind. And people that wouldn't have been, they would have been afraid to even look at David, cursed him, spit at him, threw rocks at him. He put up with it. He allowed it. And he was leaving what he loved behind. You talk about a hard time. That's why he said in this psalm, he said, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be that say of my soul, there is no help for him even in God. People were saying, even God can't help David now. But they didn't know David's God. Hallelujah. They didn't know David's God. Amen. Sister Rhonda, they didn't know about the promises that God had made to David. God said to David, he said, I'm going to establish your throne forever. Amen. This is not going to be just a one-time dynasty. But David, I'm going to establish this for ages. Hallelujah. And whenever he said it, David believed it. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. You ever been so low that people said, not even the Lord can help you now? Amen. But you know what? I've never said that. And I hope to goodness you've never said that. Amen. Amen. You're not ever going to get so low that he can't help you. Hallelujah. Now you might get high and lifted up and he may have to bring you down before he can help you. But he knows how to do that. He may not help you up there, but he'll help you down here. Amen. He'll always help you up. Amen. He'll always lift you up when you give him an opportunity. So David was running for his life. His wisest counselor turned against him and gave counsel against him to Absalom. And told Absalom what to do to destroy David. And actually sent an army to take David's very own life. But David had some loyal people that God put in their heart to help him. Hallelujah. They told David about the plan. Amen. You know what? God listens to everything the devil says. He knows everything people are saying about you. And he knows how to deliver the godly. He knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. He knows how to get you out of trouble. Amen. So when David heard the plan, he pressed on. weary and worn, but he pressed on. He crossed the Jordan. And when the army came to where he should have been, he wasn't there. So they had to change their plan. Absalom led an army against David, and he got hung up. The young man had a bad hang up. Amen. He got hung in a tree by his hair. Isn't that sad? Amen. And David's captain, Joab, took 3 darts and stabbed him in the heart and took the young man's life and destroyed the enemy of David. And so David went through a very difficult time in his life. But here's what I love about this psalm. He said, he is the lifter up of my head. When nobody else can get your head up, Jesus can get your head up. Amen. No matter how low it seems that you have gone, the Lord knows how to lift up your head. Amen. And he'll do that. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord knows how to lift your head. Praise God. David's kingdom was reestablished. He returned to Jerusalem. And he remained king and reigned until the day of his death. Amen. God established that kingdom just like he said he was going to do. I think of Jesus when he went to the tomb of Lazarus that day. Amen. You talk about a dull, drab, depressing, discouraging scene. When he stood there and all he could hear around him, his ears were filled with the cries and the moaning and the groaning of people who had lost a dear loved one. And their hearts were broken and their spirits were down. And it was a hard, hard time. He looked around him and all he could see was tears. All he could see was sadness on the right hand and sadness on the left hand. He looked behind and all he could see was sadness behind him. He looked before him and all he could see was a tomb and a stone, and beyond the stone, the cold form of his beloved friend. And the Bible said he stood there, and then it said, and Jesus lifted up his eyes. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, friend, the best thing that you can do when you're surrounded by sorrow is to lift up your eyes. Hallelujah. Look away from whatever's going on around you. Look away from what happened yesterday. Don't worry about what's ahead of you. Just lift up your eyes and begin to look to the Lord of glory. Amen. Because your help will come from the Lord. David, or Jesus, lifted up his eyes. Amen. Let me tell you, you can always find hope when you lift up your eyes. You can always find encouragement. You can always find faith when you lift up your eyes. Hallelujah. He looked up and he saw life. He looked up and he saw light. He looked up and he saw hope. He looked up and he saw the love of God. Amen. And then he lifted up his voice. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. Glory. Amen. And the miracle was revealed. But before it ever happened, he lifted up his eyes. Amen. Praise God. Hey, folks, we can't walk through life with our head down. You can't walk through life discouraged. Amen. You can't walk through life miserable and moaning and groaning. Amen. That's no way for a Christian to live. That's no way for a child of God to live. That's not a good testimony for folks that are around about us. Amen. Even when trouble's all around us, they need to see us looking up. Amen. Praise God. Lift up your eyes. He is the lifter up of your head. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I always like this story in the book of Acts. The Bible said that Peter and John went down to the temple at the hour of prayer. Amen. And as they were walking into that place, there was a man there that was lame. And they carried him every day and laid him at that gate. And he was sitting there and he had this cup in his hands. And he was asking for alms. He was begging for an offering. Amen. And those two preachers came by, and the Bible says he looked up expecting to receive something. Right. Amen. Praise ye, expecting to receive something. And they looked at him and they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." Hallelujah. And then they reached out and they took him by the hand. And here's the beautiful thing they said. They said, "Look on us." Do we have the boldness to say that? Can we tell this city, "Look on us"? Can we tell people that are discouraged, "Look on us"? Can we tell people that have physical problems, "Look on us"? Can we tell folks that have needs in their lives, "Look on us"? Do we have enough faith? Do we have enough joy? Do we have enough hope? Do we have enough peace? Do we have enough power of God that we can tell folks, "Look on us"? Yes. Do we have enough holiness to tell folks, "Look on us"? Amen. You see, what they were getting ready to do, they wanted him to say, "We've got something over here. Hey, it's not bragging if you got it." Amen. It's all right to brag on Jesus, isn't it? Hallelujah. It's all right to say, "Hey, you know what? I've got what you need." Amen. It may not, we don't have a lot of silver and we don't have a lot of gold. But I tell what we do have, we have a name that has power in it. We have a name that has healing in it. We have a name that has forgiveness in it. We have a name that has salvation in it. We have a name that's above every other name. And in that name of Jesus, hallelujah, rise up and walk, hallelujah. Amen. Hey, folks, we still need that "look on us" message today. Hallelujah. We still need something we can tell people. Hey, you can look on us because we've got what you need. We have what you're missing. Amen. Whatever else is going on in your life, we have exactly what you need tonight. Amen. Praise God. Amen. You know, we can't look inward. One of the great diseases of Christianity is ingrown itis, eyeballitis. That's ingrown eyeballs. It's selfishness. It's looking at ourselves. Poor me. Always me. Everything's me. Amen. You see, when you get ingrown itis, eyeballitis, you will always be discouraged. Amen. Because you and I are pretty small. Amen. And things will never please us. We'll always be upset as long as we're looking at ourselves. So when you look inward, you're not going to find very much. There's not a whole lot there but disappointment. Amen. We do our best, but we're so limited, folks. We're so limited. Amen. And no matter how great a person is, no matter how educated, and there's nothing wrong with education. I'm all for it. And there's nothing wrong with a lot of good things that we can do for ourselves. But we're limited in all of those things. No matter how great you are, you're still extremely limited when you just look in yourself. Amen. And then when we look outside ourselves, we only see people like us. What did Paul say? He said, when we compare ourselves with ourselves, we are unwise. Amen. When you look at other people, and if you say, "Well, you know," and I've heard people do this, and you have too, "Well, at least I'm not like so-and-so." You can always find Find somebody that's worse than you. Amen. You can always find somebody, at least in your opinion, that's not as good as you are. And then you'll always find somebody that you think is better than you are. Amen. And in either case, it won't help you. Because if you think you're better than somebody, then you're going to have to fight pride. And if you think somebody else is better than you, you're going to battle inferiority. And so neither one of those things is going to help you. So the outward look is not going to help you. It doesn't help to look inside, and it doesn't help to look outside. And then it doesn't help to look back. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, the man that puts his hand to the plow, he said, and then he looks back, he said, he's not worthy of me. I don't know about you, but Sister Hart said this the other night to the choir. It was really good. She said, hey, said, you know why the windshield's bigger than the rearview mirror? God's trying to send you a message, folks. The windshield's always bigger than the rearview mirror. You try driving by the rearview mirror, you're going to crack up. You're going to run over all kinds of stuff. Amen. If you're worried about what's behind you and you always got to be looking behind, hey, look out and see what's ahead of you. But some people live their lives looking back. Huh? Yeah, looking back. Boy, I'll tell you, it was good back then. What about now? Amen. What about now? Let's just go ahead and get good today. Hallelujah. Amen. We can't live in the past. It's okay to enjoy some things and say, boy, that was good. And I look back at times and I think some wonderful things happened in the past. But I don't think it's over. I think the best is yet to come. Hallelujah. Praise God. I think God is going to do greater things. As a matter of fact, the Bible said he was. He said the glory of the latter house is going to be greater than the glory of the former house. Amen. You know, we read in the book of Acts where 3,000, 2,000, 3,000 people, 5,000 people were saved in one day. Wasn't that wonderful? But you know what? There's more people than that being saved today. There are more tongue talkers today than there were back then. There's more people baptized in Jesus' name today than there were back then. There's more miracles occurring worldwide today than there was back then. It's not getting weaker. It's not getting less. Hey, it's getting greater. I don't know how you feel about this, but I don't believe that God is going to match an inferior church with a superior last day revival. I think God knows exactly what he's doing. Amen. And he's going to match the church of his choosing with this generation that needs God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I think we're going to see even greater things. But you see, you can't just look back. And there's one thing. David looked back briefly. And he said to Saul, he said, you know, this old bear came out while I was watching my daddy's sheep. And he said, I killed him with my bare hands. These are bear traps you're looking at here, buddy. And he said, a lion came out and took one of my father's flock. He said, I went over, took that little lamb out of his mouth, and I slew the lion with my lion hands. Amen. These are lion traps you're looking at here. Amen. And he said, the same God that delivered the lion into my hand, and the same God that delivered the bear in my hand, he will deliver this uncircumcised Philistine into my hand. You see, that's how you use the past. You don't live there, but you take what God did then, and you see if he did it then, he'll do it today. Because Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. He has not changed, and he will not change. So you see, you can't look backward. And it's a dangerous thing to walk with your head down. You'll run into stuff. You know, we talked about this one lesson before, but in Bible times, there were people they called black and blue Pharisees. They were called black and blue Pharisees because they would walk with their head down, because they didn't want to see anything that would make them lust. So they would run into poles and buildings, and they always had bruises on them because they always had their head down. And they didn't want to lift up their eyes. Amen. If you walk with your head down, folks, you're going to run into some stuff. Head on. Amen. You need to look up. You need to see what's out there. Amen. You can't just look down all the time. Amen. Praise God. And so if you can't look inward, and it's not good to look outward all the time and downward all the time and backward all the time, I only know one way to look. Amen. You got to look up. Hallelujah. Look up. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Amen. Hallelujah. Look up. Amen. And so we got to look up in the Christian life. Amen. We have a saying sometimes. We say, things are looking up. Well, things may not be, but that doesn't matter. You can still lift up your eyes and see who's in control and see who's in charge. Amen. Now, I don't know what's going to happen. We are, as a nation, we are in some uncharted waters right now. And we're trying some things. Our government's trying some things that we've never tried before. Now, I've never seen them work. It doesn't sound logical to me. I've never spent my way out of anything. But then again, I've never been allowed to. If I try printing more money, they'll arrest me. And if I don't pay for what I got, they'll come get it. I've never had anybody bail me out. I don't know about you. Amen. But we're in some uncharted waters right now. And we don't know what all of this is going to be. We don't know. It's some troubling times. Amen. Jesus gave us some signs that we were going to be seeing in the book of Luke, in the 21st chapter, in the 25th verse. He talked about some things that were going to come upon the earth and some signs that we would be seeing. And this is what he said in chapter 21, verse number 25. He said, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. That is, in the heavens. Now, I don't know how much stock to put in all of this global warming business. I don't know. A few years ago, we were extremely concerned about the ozone. And we took some steps to get rid of fluorocarbons, and supposedly that helped. I don't know if that helped or if God just healed the ozone. I don't know. But nonetheless, it got better. So I don't know, but I do know that there are a lot of things that are concerning folks. And that you and I probably, if we were honest, and I know we are, it probably is a little warmer than it used to be. I remember more snow than we've gotten in a lot of years now. Seemed like it used to snow more. Winter used to be a little different than it is now. Some sub-zero temperatures and some things that we're not seeing now. I don't know what all this has to do with it, but I do know one thing. The Bible said there's going to be some signs in the heavens. Amen. And I think that we're beginning to see some of those things right now. I think we're beginning to see some signs in the sun, in the moon, and the stars, because they affect our atmosphere. And they affect the storms that come upon the earth. And they affect all of these things. And Jesus said that we were going to see that. He said there were going to be divers earthquakes, or earthquakes in divers places. And we're seeing earthquakes in places we never saw earthquakes before. And they are growing both in number and in intensity. We are seeing all kinds of storms coming in unprecedented ways. So I think that's what he's talking about. So what are we going to do? Well, my suggestion is lift up your eyes. Hallelujah. Lift up your eyes. Amen. Praise God. Lift up your eyes. He talks about the distress of nations. In that 25th verse, he said, not only would the sun, the moon, and the stars be affected, he said, but upon the earth, distress of nations. And we're really seeing that. And we got a real problem on our southern border right now. Right. We got a big problem because of drug cartels in Mexico. That's not very far from us here. And that's a genuine concern. China, the most populous nation on the earth, is beginning to really wake up. You know who we owe more money to? Yeah, you got it, China. Amen. And they're beginning to say, hey, now it's time for us to start building weapons. Everybody else been doing it. Now it's our turn. Whenever you're in so much debt, you can't even keep your banks going. Now it's time for us to start doing something. Very interesting, isn't it? Some distress. And you talk about stress. Distress of nations. There's a lot of things going on, folks, right now. But you know what? I'm not going to worry about that. I'm just going to lift up my head. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm not going to lose any sleep over that. I'm just going to lift up my head. Amen. He talks about the seas and the waves roaring. Amen. And we're people are worried about the oceans or the ice caps melting and the oceans rising and covering the land. And you know what? That might happen. I don't know. But you know what? I'm just going to lift up my head. Hallelujah. In verse 26, he talked about men's hearts failing them for fear. Amen. And the number one problem in the United States of America is heart problems. And a whole lot of heart problems are caused by stress. And stress is another word for fear. It's things you can't control. People stress over things they can't control. Things that they can't do anything about. You know what? We need to stress less. And believe more. And just lift up our head and let God take care of some things. Amen. Jesus said you can't change anything by worrying. And he's right. You can't change. You can't add a cubit to your height by worrying. Amen. You can't make your ears littler or your nose smaller or a better complexion by worrying. And then people worry about all kinds of things, don't they? Oh, my hair, it's a bad hair day. And we worry about that. And you get a pimple and their whole world just collapses round about you. Amen. Praise God. I wish my nose was bigger. I wish it was smaller. Just be glad you got one. And it works. Amen. But we find all kinds of things to worry about and all kinds of things to stress about. It's time to just lift up your eyes. Amen. Don't spend your time stressing about things. Amen. Praise God. Amen. He said the power of heaven will be shaken. Amen. I think that there's a spiritual battle is what we're seeing right now. Amen. The Bible said that the devil knows that his time is short. And so he intensifies his efforts. And we are seeing some awful things happening in our world today. Some things, and it's tragic for you and I that remember a better day. That remember a time when we were a moral nation. When we remember a time when sin was something to be ashamed of instead of gloried in. A time when people did not get in the streets and march and glorify their sin and demand that everybody accept them as they are. We remember a time when it wasn't that way. We remember a time when we had politicians that had enough backbone to stand up for something as sacred as marriage and preserve it We remember a time when we had some politicians that were strong enough to stand up for the unborn and not murder babies. We remember a time when they cared more about babies than it did about baby whales and baby eaglets. We remember a time when these things were not. But we're seeing all that change now. Amen. And we're watching a big shift morally in our nation, not only in our nation, but in our world. And if you think the United States of America is bad, you check out some of the other places. Even the United Nations has in the past, they tried this in the 80s and it didn't fly, so they're going to try it again. The international right of the child, that parents will not be able to correct their children, or they'll be able to sue you. And you know, it's getting even, you can believe some of this stuff, folks. Did you know that in, what's the name of that place, that real liberal place in Colorado? Boulder, Colorado? Did you know that you can't even own a dog there? No, you can't own a dog in Boulder, but you can be his keeper. There are no dog or pet owners in Boulder. You are a pet keeper. You cannot own him. And he has rights. Hear me. It's a wacky world, folks. It's nuts. But the Bible said, because they refuse to keep God in their knowledge, that he would give them over to a reprobate mind. A mind that cannot discern what is right and what is wrong. And that's where we are as a nation and as a world morally, because people have rejected God. But you know what? In the middle of all of that, you still got to look up. Amen. I refuse to just sit around and become bitter and negative. I'm going to keep looking up. Amen. Praise God. And then he said, verse number 28, now when these things began to come to pass, he said, lift up your heads, because your redemption draweth nigh. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hey, folks, we got a way out of this. Amen. And I don't believe it's going to be long. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe soon and very soon there's going to be a trumpet sound. Hallelujah. And then a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. Hallelujah. Praise God. This mortal shall put on immortality, and this corruption shall put on incorruption. Hallelujah. Amen. And we're going to ever be with the Lord. It's going to happen. But you got to lift up your eyes and look up. Look up. Look up. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand together tonight. Amen. Somebody said, you know, the economy's bad, getting worse, but you can't look at the economy. You know what I read in my Bible? It said, but my God shall supply all your need. Anybody believe that tonight? We might get a chance to find that. Hear me. Praise God. Amen. But you got to lift up your eyes, folks. Amen. I can't promise you what's coming down the road. Amen. I cannot promise you that you're always going to be as comfortable as you are now. I can't promise you that. I can't promise you you're going to always have the same stuff you've got now. Can't promise you you're not going to lose some things. But you better not have your confidence in your stuff. that you better not say, I can't be happy without this, without that. Oh no, you can be happy with the Lord if you'll just let Him. Amen. One of the big problems we have already is folks too attached to stuff. Amen. We need to get the Abraham spirit. Amen. Abraham lived in a tent. In other words, he was not attached to the temporal because he had his eyes on the eternal. Amen. And that's the kind of spirit we got to get. Look up. Lift up your eyes. Amen. Hallelujah. Because your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. Why don't we lift up our eyes right now? Let's just begin to give God thanks for the hope that He's given to the church. Amen. Jesus Christ. We are living in uncertain times, but we have a very certain God. Amen. We are living in tumultuous times, but we have a God that is a God of peace. Amen. You're not a reactive God, but you're an active God. You're a God that already has the plan of redemption. All things prepared, all things laid out. Amen. You are the source of supply for the church. Amen. You're going to make a way even when there seemeth to be no way. You're going to open doors where we cannot even see doors. You're going to make a way for us tonight. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's time to look up. Amen. And see the salvation of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. There'll be no more crying there. We are going to see the King. There'll be no more crying there. We are going to see the King.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King.
Yes,
soon and very soon, we are going to see the King.
Yes,
soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Yes, in Jesus' name. Amen. One writer said a man's reach, or a man's grasp, get it right in a minute. A man's reach must, or a grasp, what is that? I've lost it now, haven't I? Amen. Praise God, a man's reach must exceed his grasp on what's a heaven for. We're reaching for some things, folks, that we can't get a hold of. Paul said that. In the word of the Lord, he said, there are some things I have not yet apprehended or grabbed a hold of. I'm reaching for them. And he said that there are some things that I put behind me, and I'm trying to grab some things in front of me, but it's just a little out of reach. So I just have to keep going. Amen. Praise God. I have to just keep reaching. But one of these days, we're going to reach and we're going to step on heaven's shore. Amen. Praise God. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's already happened for some brothers and sisters that have made that journey ahead of us. Amen. But we're still reaching. Praise God. Amen. But one of these days, I'm going to lift a foot up from planet Earth, and I'm going to plant that foot on a street of gold. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to take one last breath of polluted earth air. Amen. And the next thing I know, I'm going to be in a celestial city. Praise God. Just going to happen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to take one last look at this beautiful earth. And I think it's beautiful. It's a beautiful place to live. Amen. But that's not to be compared to where I'm going. He did this in 7 days. He's been working on that for 2,000 years. Amen. Praise God. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Amen. We're getting ready to go, folks. Look up. Amen. Amen. I don't want anybody to walk out of here with your head down. Look up.
All right.
Amen. If you run into something, it's going to be because your head's up, not because it's down. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let's thank the Lord one more time. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for truth. Thank you for lifting up our heads. There's times that we need somebody to just come put a little finger under our chin and lift up our eyes and say, hey, look up here. I know things are difficult. We're not to deny that there's some suffering, there's some pain in life. There's some heart-rending situations that people go through. Amen. But Lord, when my brother or my sister is going through one of those times, just reach down, put a finger under their chin, and just lift it up to you so they can see your glory and see your beauty and look into your lovely face. Amen. And find the strength to carry on. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the name of the Lord.